I think that's a really bad song. But it was playing all the time when, as a young teenager, I was starting to spread my social wings and go to what we in the Eastern Cape at that time called hops, discos. That was the song that was playing, and it was a song that I could feel not too embarrassed about dancing to. And whenever it comes, I hear the first chord, and I know what song is coming, and I can sing along to it word for word, because that's what I did at the hops when I was 13 and 14 years old. And it's a weird phenomenon that I've thought about, that a lot of the music from my childhood, a lot of the music that I, you know, if I'm driving and I've got a music nostalgia station coming on, and a song from that period of my life comes on, I know every single word of it. And most of them now, from my much higher vantage point, I recognize as not being terribly good songs. I'm delighted to talk now to Dr. Kelly Jakubowski, an assistant professor at Durham University's music department. Because, Kelly, good afternoon. This is something that you have been looking into, this phenomenon of nostalgia and music and early days.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you.
What made you look into it?
So I think my sort of initial interest in this is around the relationship between music and autobiographical memory. And we've shown in some of our initial research, for instance, that this is a really common everyday experience. Around sort of once a day, for more people, or for some people more often, we have this experience where we're listening to a piece of music, and it often quite spontaneously brings us back to memories from our lifetimes. And this relationship with our sort of teenagers seem to be particularly prevalent.
I don't know whether you looked into whether music differs from other triggers for that kind of memory. You know, Marcel Proust's famous Recherche en temps perdu, where the central character is transported back to his childhood by the smell of a Madeleine biscuit. Mm-hmm. There are all sorts of triggers. Is music a particularly powerful trigger, or a trigger which is different in any way from the others?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. So that's something we've looked at in a variety of different ways. So, for instance, I've done some research comparing music to instances of watching TV, because that's another sort of cultural phenomenon that has sort of links to certain time periods in our lives and so on. And we found that music-evoked memories tend to be significantly more vivid, more emotional, more social than TV-evoked memories, for instance. But we've also done some research recently comparing music very systematically to equally emotional stimuli. So other sounds that evoke emotions, for instance, and words that evoke emotions. And we found that music actually tends to bring back more positive memories uniformly in comparison to other emotional cues.
Why would that be, Kelly?
So we think, it's a good question. We think that it's probably because music as a sort of aesthetic stimulus, even when music is expressing some sort of negative emotion, it often tends to evoke this sort of positivity. The fact that it is, when we engage with music, we know it's an aesthetic experience. And so even when the music itself is expressing sadness or anger, we know it's a sort of safe context to engage with some sort of emotional stimulus. And so we often, you can imagine, you know, sometimes when you're listening to really aggressive, angry music, actually you don't feel angry, you feel actually quite positive and revved up, for instance. So it might
be. Which is why I love Japanese death metal so, because it revs me up. I was fascinated. It was a term I hadn't heard before I read coverage on The Conversation of the study that you're talking about, which was published in Music and Science, of the notion of a reminiscence bump. It wasn't something that I'd read about or heard about before. Tell our listeners what a reminiscence bump is.
Sure. So this is a phenomenon that's been studied in psychology generally, and it's been found – actually not related to music initially. It was just found in general autobiographical memory literature, which is the idea that we tend to be biased towards recalling memories from a certain period of our lives, this bump in memory, from about when we're around sort of ages 10 to 30 years old. So our sort of teenage and early adulthood years, if you ask people to recall, for instance, important memories from their lives, they tend to be biased towards recalling memory from that period rather than other sort of later or earlier periods. And similarly, we found this reminiscence bump in music-evoked memories as well, that we tend to have more music-evoked memories from this time period of ages 10 to 30 years. And also
the time frame is narrower. The musical memories aren't equally spread over that 10 to 30 year. They're more concentrated around the early teens, it seems.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, you're right. So the particular study that you're talking about now, we actually used music and looked at the release date of the music, and we looked at whether people had memories sort of coinciding with the release date of the music. So basically music that was released when they were around sort of 10 to 15 years old, that tended to trigger the most memories for people, yeah.
And since I played the Turtles from 1967 and spoke a bit about my impressions of what I think is not a very good song, it's a very banal song, both lyrically and harmonically, I've had quite a lot of people WhatsApping and say, love that song, wonderful song. A lot of the music that I listened to in those early teen years, it was incredibly important to me at the time. And now it does bring back memories of what I was doing when those songs were playing. But I kind of go, those are not very good songs. But most people don't have that attitude. Most people still think that those songs from the salad days of their early teens are good songs because they remember them affectionately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think it's hard to disentangle. These factors tend to be quite correlated. So the fact that when you have these quite nostalgic memories, it makes you feel quite positive, and it actually might be not necessarily that you like the song. It might actually be it's just bringing back all these nice memories for you, and then you feel this affection for the song. You kind of divert that affection you're feeling for your memories onto the song, for instance.
And then final question, Kelly. I saw in some of the reportage of this that you've done some work on earworms, and I'm fascinated to know what you discovered about that ghastly phenomenon.
There's lots of research on that topic now. It's a really actually burgeoning area of research. One interesting thing I think about earworms is, it's another really common memory experience that we have for music. And actually, if you look at it systematically in people's everyday lives, there's this sort of idea that earworms are really sort of negative thing that you know, we get these annoying songs in our heads. But actually, if you look at it systematically, most of the time, like about two-thirds of the time, we have songs in our heads that we like. We actually get earworms for songs that we like, which kind of makes sense because actually the most salient trigger for an earworm is having recently listened to music, and most of the time we listen to music that we like. So maybe I'll just spread that finding that, you know, we tend to sort of remember these negative episodes, but actually most of the time earworms aren't really a problematic thing for most people.
Thank you very much to Dr. Kelly Jakubowski, an assistant professor at Durham University Music Department. Is this going to give you an earworm, I wonder?
Imagine me and you.